Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Now we hope you'll open your Bible and join us as Glenn Colley brings us a lesson from God's Word.
That's no problem. It's gone. It's gone. And you don't have the assurance of being able to pray to God and knowing that He hears you. Why? It'd be an awful thing. But of course, it's not that way. You know that when you pray to God, He hears your prayers. And according to the dictates of His righteous and perfect heart, He answers those prayers. But here's the question. Does God hear the sinner's prayer? Does God hear sinners pray? In Acts chapter 10, we begin reading with verse 30. And of course, this has to do with Cornelius. And the Bible says this. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Was not a Christian. Now, he's going to become one, but I can tell you right now, he's not saved. He's in a lost condition. The next chapter has Peter describing what's happened in the conversion of Cornelius. In verse 14 of Acts 11, these words, he will tell thee words by which thou and thy house shall be saved. Cornelius was not saved, and yet the Bible says his prayers were heard. How do you reconcile that with John chapter 9 and 31? How do you put those together? Where the Bible says, now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. How do you put those together? And the question I want to ask is, does God hear the prayers of sinners? Well, it's an important question. Let's get started on it. The first thing I want you to appreciate is that words often have more than one meaning. That's certainly true in the Bible. For example, the word works. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Watch now. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not saved by works, he says, of which any man would boast. But you go to James chapter 2 and verse 24, and you see the opposite. He says, don't you know that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? Well, isn't that contradictory? Oh, it's really not. When you appreciate that sometimes words have more than one meaning. Now, the kind of works that Paul was talking about when he says we're saved by grace through faith and not by works, he continued by saying, of which a man would boast. We're not saved by works of which we would boast. We're not saved by works of merit where we claim to God that we deserve salvation because of our mighty works. That's the point that Paul is making. But what's James talking about? He's talking about works of obedience before God, where we humbly obey and do His will. And it says by those works we're justified. Sometimes words have different meanings. That is nowhere clearer than in reference to the word tempt. Tempt. James 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil. Watch it now. Neither tempteth He any man. I want to ask you a question. Does God tempt a man? No. Well, how do you reconcile that with the fact that Genesis 22:1, this is when you're about to get Abraham to take Isaac on Mount Moriah and offer him for a sacrifice. And the Bible says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. How do you explain it? This says God did tempt Abraham, but James says that no man should ever say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Well, words have different meanings. What James is talking about, that God never, ever tempts, means to seduce to sin. God never would ever seduce someone to sin or encourage someone to sin. But the word tempt over here in Genesis 22, with reference to Abraham, the word there means to test one's loyalty, to put to the test. It is only in that sense that God tempted Abraham. Sometimes words have more than one meaning. So we ask the question again, does God hear a sinner's prayer? It depends on what you mean, first of all, by the word hear. Because the word hear sometimes has different meanings. For example, sometimes the word hear means to perceive audible sound. Just that. You know, if you mean that, the fact is that the answer is yes. Because God hears everything. I mean in reference to His awareness of everything. Do you think that God would hear you when you curse Him? Well, yeah. That's why we don't do it. Do you think God would hear if you used your mouth for lying and you deceived, willfully deceived someone? You lied. Would God hear that? Well, yes. In the sense that He's aware of it, He knows that He acknowledges that has occurred. Why, if that one, you know, Proverbs 28:9 says, "Whoso turns his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Did God hear that? Well, if you mean in the sense that He audibly perceives it and recognizes that, then the answer is yes, because God hears everything. Sometimes the word hear has different meanings, though. Try this one. Here's the second one. Sometimes it means to pay close attention to. You take a mama who brings her boy in and he's 9 years old and she gets his nose right up against her nose and she says, "I want you to be in from playing at 4:00. Do you hear me?" Well, what that means is, are you processing this information? I mean, are you really paying attention to this? That's what the word hear means in that sentence. And sometimes, here's a third one, sometimes what the word here means is to favorably listen or to listen with favor. You know what? When we talk about God hearing our prayers, that's the one we're referencing. I don't just want Him to know that I'm praying, to audibly recognize the fact that sound is coming out of my mouth. I want more. I want Him to hear my prayers. I want Him to be favorable toward my petitions. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. I want Him to act favorably toward the petitions I'm making before His throne. The question is, does God hear the prayer of sinners? Well, in the first place, it depends on what you mean by hear. But I want to raise something else. Sometimes the word sinner has different meanings. Here's what I mean by this. Are you a sinner? I mean, as a Christian, is it true that Christians sin? And the fact of the matter is, yes. The answer is yes. And yet, I would be very hesitant to describe you with the terminology we're using tonight. I'd be very hesitant to call you a sinner, despite the fact that sometimes as a Christian you sin. I mean, I drive nails sometimes, but that doesn't make me a carpenter, right? Sometimes at the house, Mrs. Colley wants me to screw in a light bulb, but I can tell you that doesn't make me an electrician. Sometimes you may fix a drippy faucet and put a new washer in. And some of you fellas do that, but that doesn't make you know that you're not a plumber, right? And sometimes as a Christian, because of ignorance or foolishness or stupidity or whatever, weakness, we sin. 1 John chapter 1 says, a man that declares he doesn't sin is a liar. Right? We sin in the very denial of sinning. Right? We deceive ourselves. Of course we sin. It would be a foolish thing to say, I don't sin. And that's true about Christians. Does God hear the prayers of sinners? Well, if by sinners you mean faithful Christians who sometimes stumble in sin, well, of course He hears those prayers. If He didn't, He wouldn't hear anybody's sin or anybody's prayers because all of us sin. Right? Sometimes we're talking about those who are faithful Christians who sometimes sin. Does God hear those prayers? Why, of course He does. These people are in a covenant relationship with Christ who sometimes occasionally sin. Of course He does. But then secondly, there's a category of people who are not Christians, but it's not because of a rebellion against God. It's because of ignorance. I mean, you take Cornelius, for example. Have you ever considered the description of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, the first couple of verses? Now, this is not my description of him. This is the Holy Spirit's description of him. And it says, here's a man that fears God with all his house. He gives much alms to the people, and he prays to God always. And yet, again, chapter 11 and verse 14 indicates that this is a lost man. Now, it is of that man that the Bible says his prayers were heard. Now, I do not believe that a man in that situation has his prayers heard in the same sense that a faithful Christian does. There's a difference between that man and one who is walking in God's light and has a covenant relationship with the Lord. Same is true with Saul. I mean, you take Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. And what happened there is that Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. Lord, what would you have me to do? Go in the city and it'll be told thee what thou must do. And then the Lord to Ananias through this angel says, you'll find Saul and he's praying. Is he saved? He's not saved. He will be, because he's going to obey the gospel. He'll be a great preacher of righteousness. But at this point, he's not saved, yet he's praying. Yet he's praying. I'm saying that there's a category of people who fear God, but are yet uninformed. Is there a sense in which God hears those prayers? Yes. Now, you don't have to wonder about that, because the verses we read at the beginning of this sermon in Acts 10, 30 and 31 say it. It just says it. His prayer was heard. Does that mean that he sustains and enjoys the same blessings, even relative to prayer, that a Christian does? No. My inclination is that it simply means that when a person outside of Christ who's a believer in God and wants to do right and prays like this, that God will answer it to this degree. Now, this is my speculation. But to this degree, that God will make sure that that person is exposed to the truth. He'll then have to make the decision whether or not to accept it. But God will see to it. So here's a person that's not prejudiced against God's will, but he's not a Christian. Believer in God, but not a Christian. Is he a sinner? Yes. Yes, he is. Does God hear the prayers of sinners? Well, I think it depends on what you mean by sinner. And sometimes, taking the next step, sometimes when we use the word sinner, we're talking about people who are in rebellion to God. I mean, they may know what the Bible says, but they choose not to follow that. They're just in rebellion. I would remind you that Proverbs 28 and verse 9 says that if a man turns away his ear from hearing the law of God, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That's an awful thought, isn't it? I mean, abomination means that when God hears that prayer, it nauseates him. And you say, well, how can that be right? How can anybody praying? Well, think about it this way. It's God saying to us, now, here's how I want you to live. And I know that. I know what he wants me to do, but you know what? That is not what I want to do. Sometimes it's in reference to religion. I mean, in Jesus' time, there were people, religious people, who knew what right was. They just didn't want to do it. And so in Matthew 13 and verse 15, he said, this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. What's that? Well, they're very religious, but they're going to reject Christ. They're very religious, but they're going to crucify Jesus. And here's God saying, I've revealed myself to you. Here's how I want you to live. And I say, no, Lord, I'm not going to live like that. But now I'm in a pickle and I really want to pray and I want you to hear me pray. Right? What's God's response to that? It's an abomination to him. It's just an abomination. It makes him sick. You know, am I your puppet? I mean, you can manipulate me however you want. You can reject me all through. You can just live in rebellion to me. And now that you're in a pickle, you want to ask me for my blessing? Is that the point? This is nauseating. This is abomination. Sometimes it's in reference, even today, to religious people who say, you know what? I know what the Bible says about salvation. I've read these verses about baptism being essential. But you know what? I tell you what. One man said, you know, I read in a Bible study with a man one time, where Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and 21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. And I said, you know, baptism must have something to do with saving us, because here's what Peter said. And he said, you mean that a person has to be baptized to be saved? I said, well, here's what it says. Here's what Peter wrote, and the answer is yes. He responded, I no more believe that than anything. I won't believe that. Well, now, what about his prayer? What about his prayer? Well, again, Proverbs 28 and 9 says, "Whoso turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Suppose I face the law of God, the will of God, and I say, I will not follow that, but I want him to answer my prayers. Sometimes it's in reference to our worship. I know the Bible says in John 4 and 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, but that's not how I want to do it. I much prefer a worship that appeals to me. And so many churches today have gone to an entertainment-based worship. Why don't we make it fun? Because I'm telling you, it's more practical. There's a pragmatic approach to this. Why don't we make it more fun? We'll have a big band and we'll dance and we'll sing and we'll just have a party atmosphere, right? Because it'll bring in more people. How would God respond to this? Well, the way the Bible says it in Proverbs 28:9 is that that has a bearing on how God listens to my prayers. It has a bearing on that because he's told us how he wants us to live. Sometimes it's in reference to morality, or in this case, immorality. Suppose I choose to live an immoral life. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I didn't see it myself. I was told about it, but in Birmingham during the Gulf War, they have topless bars there. And there's a marquee out in front of this bar. And it said, "Please pray for our troops." Does God hear that prayer? You know, suppose they turn down the music for a little bit and they put their glasses down and they all hold hands and pray for the troops. What you reckon about that? You know, if the Bible is right, that prayer makes God sick. It makes him sick. Why? Because these people don't intend to do God's will. They intend to live in immorality. Now, I want you to hold that thought because I want to add something to it. That is not applicable to one who has been in that sort of immorality or in that sort of rebellion, whether it be religious or moral, and chooses to change his life and repent and follow God. Follow Jesus Christ and goes about the steps that the Lord requires of us to become Christians. Suppose a person's in that circumstance, but he says, "I want to repent and be right with God." Well, if he'll do that, God will forgive him and he'll hear his prayers as much as any other Christian. But short of that, that prayer becomes an abomination. It is an abomination. What about a person? Does God hear the prayer of sinners? Well, it depends on what you mean by sinners. What if you're talking about someone who was once a member of the church, faithful to our Lord? Here's a Christian walking in the light. But then things in life get so very busy and life becomes so very cluttered and perhaps this problem, that besides she hurt my feelings at church one day and I don't... So I quit. This man quits. Leaves, maybe it's gradual, you know. Maybe he just misses a service now and then. A few more. Before long, you know what? We hadn't seen him in a while. Gives up. What about his prayer? In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, when a man has escaped the pollutions of the world through Jesus Christ, and here's man becoming a Christian, I've escaped, I've left that. I've escaped the pollutions of the world by Jesus Christ, and then I'm entangled again. I go back to it and overcome. The latter end is worse with me than the beginning. In fact, and this is emphatic, this will go right through you. Ready? It was better that he had never known the way of righteousness than having known it to reject this holy commandment, to leave it. What about his prayer? I mean, because what happens is that people who leave the church, who leave the Lord, they become unfaithful and unrighteous. They know better. They just choose not to live this way according to Christ's will. But then they get in trouble. You know, people do. Life's like that. We're going to face the calamities of life. There's going to be some times that we face catastrophic things. We're just blindsided by problems we never expected. And while yesterday I didn't really care whether or not God hears my prayers, today it's really very important. Fact of the matter is, this is just the truth about our lives. Within a few minutes, you could be thrust into a circumstance where all you have is prayer. That happens to these folks. Oh, I hadn't been faithful to the church. I still consider myself a Christian, but I don't ever go. I don't contribute to the church. I don't eat the Lord's Supper. I don't study my Bible. I seldom ever pray. You know, why should I? But now I'm in real trouble, and God, you've got to help me. Please help me. And how will God respond to that? The answer is, it's an abomination. It's an abomination to God. Man would be much better off not praying than to be in that circumstance. Now, I repeat, that man can repent and be right with God, and God will gladly hear his prayer. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, he wants to forgive us. But live in that rebellion and then offer your prayers to God, and it's useless. Not only useless, it's counterproductive. It'll bring the opposite of what you're really desiring. It'll bring God's anger, not his blessing. One more point. This is so important, is that God never saves anybody as a direct result of their prayers. Now, I'm talking about alien sinners now. When I say alien, I don't mean from Mars. By alien, what I mean is somebody who is outside of Christ. He hasn't become a Christian. He's not in a saved condition. He's lost in his sins. And what I'm saying is that God never saves anybody, any alien sinner, as a direct result of prayer. Now, why is that so important? It is important because this is one of the most common doctrines in religion in Christendom today. Thousands of pamphlets are circulated all of the time by religious people who encourage folks who are lost, alien sinners, to be saved and to become saved. What they urge you need to do is to pray the sinner's prayer. I'm saying it's not true. The prayer sometimes goes like this. I would like to be able to go to the Scriptures, go maybe to the book of Acts, and open up a passage and say, now here is where you have a conversion example. And this man prayed the sinner's prayer, and then he was saved. Now, you'll never find one of these pamphlets with that in it, and the reason is because it doesn't exist. There is no such example in the Bible. Now, here's how the prayer, this one is from a pamphlet distributed by Landmark Baptist Church, Haines City, Florida. And there are many others, I just picked this one up. Here's the prayer in the pamphlet. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and that you shed your blood, died, and arose from the grave for me. I now ask you to forgive my sin and to come into my heart and life as my personal Savior. Give me your gift of eternal life in heaven. Help me now to live for you. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. These things I pray in your name. Amen. There is not one line in your Bible that teaches that that's right. There is not one line that teaches that's right. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite is true. And I would submit to you that for those people who have heard God's will about how to become a Christian, what to do to be saved, and the necessity of baptism, for example, for salvation, to say, I reject that, and instead I'll adopt this idea, the practice of the sinner's prayer, puts those folks in the category of Proverbs 28 and verse 9, where the Bible says, whoso turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. It's not too uncommon, incidentally, in connection to this, in one of these pamphlets, to have a citation from Luke 18 and verse 13. And it'll always have just a small quote from that verse. God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Pray the sinner's prayer. Here it is, Luke 18, 13. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know what? You say, well, there it is. It's a Bible verse, and so that must be right, and I'll pray the sinner's prayer so I can have salvation. But the problem is, that's not what that verse is about. In Luke chapter 18, two men went up to the temple to pray. Now, these are Jews. They went up to the temple to pray. This is before Jesus died. It was before the church was established. It was before the cross. These are Jews, practicing Jews. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee prayed thus with himself. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, may I just suggest to you, that man wasn't trying to become a Christian. You know what? There's nothing he could have done to become a Christian. He couldn't have obeyed the gospel and become a member of the church. The church didn't exist. Here's a man who's in a covenant relationship with God. He's already a Jew living according to the old law. And in that old law, this religious man in that covenant relationship says to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He did what he should do. He was doing exactly what he should do. But to take that and apply it to today and say, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be saved, pray his prayer. You know what? It's just plain wrong. It's just wrong. What does the Bible say an alien sinner must do to be saved? I'm so happy that we have a bunch of children in this room right now who could tell you where to go in the Bible to find examples of people becoming Christians and having their sins washed away and being saved. The terminology is not complex. In fact, it's very elementary with reference to becoming a Christian. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. In Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Or 1 Peter 3:21. Any ambiguity about this? Is this confusing terminology? Hard? Difficult? No. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. The question is, does God hear the prayers of sinners? Well, if you mean by that, does God favorably acknowledge and answer the prayers of those who are Christians living in Him, who sometimes because of weakness or foolishness commit sin? The answer is yes, He does. If you mean by that one who is living away from God, living in rebellion to God's will, and then prays, the answer is God does not acknowledge those in a favorable way. He acknowledges them, but only in reference to one who becomes sickened. He finds that to be an abomination. Now, the bottom line of this is not complicated, real simple. It's that I really want to be right with God because I can't bear the notion that my prayers wouldn't be heard in the best sense. Can you? You say, well, that doesn't make so much difference to me right now. Things are going pretty good in my life. I don't suppose I need to be able to pray to God and Him hear me. I don't know if that's true about anybody in this room or anybody in this room would express that sentiment, but I can tell you this. Even if you did, without a moment's notice, things can change. I need all of my life to be on a praying basis with my God. I need to be in a praying relationship with my God and know that there's nothing impeding my prayers, that through Jesus Christ and His being our mediator, that I can pray to my Father and He acknowledges that and that He answers in a favorable way because He knows me. He knows that I want to live for Him and wear the name of Jesus, His Son. Christian in every aspect of my life. You know what? This business about prayer, God hearing my prayers, makes me want to be more faithful. I don't want anything between Him and me. I want to be able to pray and know that my prayers go right to His ears. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight who wants to obey the gospel. Don't pray the sinner's prayer. You come and obey the gospel. Do what He's asked you to do and open up the relationship. You can have this covenant relationship with Him. You can be in Christ. That's the way the Bible describes it. And the way you get there is by being baptized into Christ, Romans chapter 6 says. And wouldn't you like to obey the gospel? If you've repented of your sins and you're ready tonight to confess His name and be immersed, we'll be happy to assist you. If you need the prayers of the Christians, I mean, biblically speaking, it's not uncommon for Christians to come and say, I wish you'd pray with me, pray for me. We'll be happy to do that. And maybe you need to confess before this body tonight. I've lived in unfaithfulness and I want to be restored and I want you to know it. And now would be a fine time to do that. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.